Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. This is the Friday broadcast, and as I always try to do on the Friday broadcast, I remind you that Sunday is coming, and so I would encourage you to be worshiping the Lord in church somewhere this weekend. If you can't get out, listen online, but I want to personally invite you to Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are located at 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in the Hickory section of Chesapeake. I always kid around and say, we're the last church you go by before you get into North Carolina. We'd love to have you come and worship with us at 9 o'clock. We have our drive-in service. And then at 10:30, we have inside worship. And at the 10:30 service, that is where we offer nursery and preschool. And we actually have a Sunday school for our students, middle school and high school students. And we have Elevate for the children who are K-5 up through 5th grade. We'd love to have you come worship with us. Well, today I want to kind of bring in a new topic, and I know it's on a Friday, but I want to talk about having faith, and I want to talk about dreams, and I want to talk about how we can be all that God wants us to be. And so as you think about this subject of big faith, big dreams, I think about a guy by the name of Joshua. And before we dive too much into the life of Joshua, you know, there's a 2006 survey that was done with over 1,000 adults, and they discovered that most people would take an average of 17 minutes to lose their patience while they're waiting in line. Also, most people lose their patience in 9 minutes while they're put on hold on the telephone. You see, impatience is a common trait. So I want to go through a series of messages dealing with how to have faith, how to have dreams, what God wants to do with you and through you. And you know, psychologists tell us that if we really want to live, you have to have a dream in order to live. You know, you can live a long time without water, at least 3 days without water. You can go maybe 40 days without food, but if you lose hope, you're going to die. You see, we have this opportunity that's placed before us, and as long as we have hope and as long as we have a dream ahead of us, then it seems like we have this drive and this determination. I think about people that get depressed, and oftentimes they get depressed because they have lost their hope to keep on living. You see, every one of us need to realize God has a dream for my life. God's dream for my life is found in knowing the fact that he loves me. It's found in his word. And it's found in the fact that as I imitate him, become more like him, I fulfill the dreams that he has for my life. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this. Now I want you to picture this verse, okay? No eye has seen. All right, think about all the things that you have seen in your life. Maybe you've been to the Grand Canyon. Maybe you've seen a lot of the beautiful sights. You've seen beautiful sunrises, beautiful sunsets. You've seen mountains and beaches. You've seen what man can create. You can see all the beautiful creation that God has created. But Paul says, picture this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Think about all the beautiful music that you have listened to, all of the sounds in nature that you have heard, all the kind things that you have heard in life. But Paul says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, or no mind has imagined. Can you think about your mind? I think about a guy like Disney and what his mind imagined and all the things that he created. But Paul says, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You see, one of the biggest and greatest gifts that God has given to us is our imagination. This ability to imagine is one of the things that human beings have that animals do not have. You see, you are made in God's image. So like our creator, we have this ability to create. Because God is creative and we are created in his image, we are also creative. You see, we have this ability to imagine. Napoleon said, imagination rules the world. Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Dream about winning the lottery, God's plan are bigger. Dream of having that perfect body or that perfect spouse or that perfect house, God's dream for you in your life is even bigger. In Mark 9:23, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. Now, as we think about belief, I don't want the belief to be a belief in myself. It is a belief in God and a belief what he can do. He gets the glory. He gets the credit. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, with God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we could ask or even imagine. So imagine how God could use me. Imagine how God can use you. Well, let's look at the story of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. And then we read two words, get going. "You talking to me, God?" I imagine Joshua said. "You want me to get going? Where?" "Okay, I'll tell you where. Get going. Cross this Jordan River. You and all the people." Now, at this point, Joshua may have said, "What, all of us? You and Moses couldn't pull this off, and we tried. Did you know that that river is at flood stage? Cross into the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses." Now, I imagine Joshua said, "You know, those giants are still in there. And our giant is dead. That's Moses. Well, you know that you just told me, how far do you want us to go into this land? Why do you want us to take this land anyway? Is this land really worth it?" So God continues, "From the wilderness in this Lebanon east to the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the Hittite country in the west of the great sea, it's all yours." Joshua may have responded, "Certainly you don't mean me. All right, no, you got the wrong guy. I'm Josh, you remember who I am?" God continues, "All your life, no one will be able to hold out against you. In the same that I was with Moses," now hold on, Josh probably said, "Well, you know, I'm no Moses. But the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't give you over. I won't leave you. Have strength, have courage. Lord, I'm not feeling it. You're going to lead this people to inherit the land that I promised to give their ancestors. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of it." All right, God, do I have to do it all? I mean, the land requires a lot of obedience. The land requires a lot of work, and I get easily distracted. So God says, don't get off track. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. So as to make sure that you go where you're going, okay, I've got it. And don't for a moment let this book of the law, this book of the revelation, depart out of your mind. Ponder on it, meditate on it day and night. Well, God, you know, I've never been a very good student. Don't just study it. Make sure that you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you? Joshua may have interrupted. "I'm sorry, Lord. What was that you said? Haven't I commanded you strength, courage, don't be timid, don't be discouraged. I'm God, you're God. I'm with you every step that you take." "Okay, I've got it. I've got the orders. Who will be my leaders? Go through the camp and give this order to the people. Pack up your bags. In 3 days, you'll cross the River Jordan to enter and take the land that your God is giving you to possess." Now, this powerful passage of Scripture reminds us of some really important things if we're going to live a life of faith. Now, I want to give a preference to this because so many times, as we're studying the Word of God, we wrongly think, okay, I've got a problem. I'm going to be Joshua in this story. I want you to, you're not Joshua, okay? I don't want to bust your bubble. We can learn lessons from Joshua, but we're not Joshua. What we want to learn in this lesson is, where is God? My faith is in Him. My faith is not in myself becoming like Joshua. My faith is in Christ and becoming like Him. So the first point is, I must let go of doubt. Don't be undecided. Don't be skeptical about it. You see, doubt is a great enemy of God's dreams for our lives. Doubt limits my potential. Doubt will cause me to procrastinate. Doubt will cause me to miss God's best for my life. You say, I doubt that God could use me in a great way. Look at me. Joshua has seen the fruit of the promised land, but he also saw the giants of the promised land. James 1, 6 and 7 says this, anyone, that's all believers, anyone who doubts is like that wave in the sea, blown up and down by the wind. They shall not think that they will receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because they're double-minded. This is what Goth said. Give me the belief of your convictions if you have any, but keep your doubts to yourself, for I have enough of my own. Now, how would you like to be the person following up the act of Moses? I mean, in Numbers chapter 12, Moses is called the humblest man that ever lived. I mean, it's like, here's Moses, and I'm taking over for Moses. As we look at Deuteronomy, what it says about him, the book of Deuteronomy actually says that he was the most important prophet of Judaism. And then comes Joshua. Oh, great. I got some self-doubt issues. I'm following the act of Moses. Not only that, but the assignment that God has given me, this is a big assignment. There's a big problem here. You see, Palestine at this time is inhabited by 7 enemy nations, all of which are bigger and stronger than the nation of Israel. But we're going to take it over. Joshua 1:9, the constant reminder that God gives to Joshua is the same constant reminder that he gives to us. Be bold, be strong. Banish your fear, banish your doubt, for remember the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We could say this, dump your doubts. 4 times in Joshua it says, be strong and courageous. You see, it's a choice, just like faith. Well, what causes us to doubt? Oftentimes we doubt because we don't understand the logic of what is expected of us. Now, there's a lot of people out there and they believe their doubts and they doubt their beliefs. Why do we have doubt? It's because we constantly rehearse our failures. The nation of Israel, for example, spent 400 years in Egypt as slaves. They spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Thomas Edison said this, I failed my way to success. Never let the fear of striking out get in your way. That was said by Babe Ruth. By the way, Babe Ruth struck out 1,856 times, but he got 714 home runs. He had far more strikeouts than he did home runs, but that didn't stop him from getting up there and taking a swing at that fastball coming down the pike. You see, Moses was a murderer before God used him to become a great leader. Jacob stole his family inheritance. David was an adulterer. And then he had his husband put to death. Now, that's not good. Abram gave his wife away, not once, but twice. In other words, Abram said, save my life and take my wife. What a great man of faith, right? I mean, Paul was a religious terrorist before God got a hold of him. Peter was a high-driving, a hard-drinking, and a high-cussing, salty Navy dog when he got saved. He was a sailor who swore up and down. He had a temper that wouldn't quit, and he was always putting his foot in his mouth, yet God said, I think I'll use you, Peter. For example, when God puts your 2 eyeballs in your head, did he put them in front of your head or did he put them in the back of your head? He put them in the front of your head so that you would look forward and not backwards at your past. You see, when God attached 2 ears to your cranium, he didn't attach them facing backward. He attached them facing forward so that you hear the promises that God has for you. When God gave you 2 arms on your body, he put them so that it'd be easier for you to reach forward than it is to reach backward, because he wants you always reaching forward, always helping other people out. When God put 2 feet on your ankles, he didn't attach them facing backwards. He attached them facing forward. He put them facing forward so that you could walk forward in faith and not backward in fear. In fact, your entire anatomy, as you think about your entire anatomy, there's only one part of your body that is facing the past. We call it the behind. Facing the back. Now, I think even God has a sense of humor. I think he's saying, folks, there's some stuff in your life that you really ought to leave behind. Don't let your past doubts, don't let your past guilt keep you from being used by God. God says, I don't care what your past is. I want to use you. You see, another thing that I believe causes us to have doubts is that we oftentimes will compare our abilities. We'll look at the abilities that God gave us and we'll compare it to somebody else's abilities. But you see, Paul reminded us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that we're not to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and they compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond our proper limits, but we will confine our boasting to the sphere of the service that God himself has assigned us to, a sphere that he also includes us in. God uses ordinary people. What is Paul trying to tell us? Paul is trying to say that God has given us certain gifts, certain talents, and he places us in a sphere of influence. And he says, how are you using the gifts that I've placed in you with the circumstances and the culture that I place you in. God uses just ordinary people. If God only used superstars, not much would get done in this world. In fact, if God only used perfect people, nothing would get done because there are no perfect people. God uses ordinary people. God uses weak people. God uses people with problems. God uses people with mixed motivations. God even uses dysfunctional people. God can use bizarre people, all kinds of people. God doesn't want you comparing yourself to anybody else. He wants you to be unique. He wants you to be you. So don't compare yourself with somebody else. Somebody put it this way. Compare, I sin. When I compare myself to somebody else, I am sinning. Well, there's a way that we can get past all this, work through all of this doubt, and that is we look for the promise. Getting back to the story of Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3, God says, I promised Moses I would give you this land, so I will give you every place that you go in the land. Now, 13 times in the book of Joshua, that word promise is used. You see, if you summarize the life of Joshua, it could be this way summarized. He captured the promised land. In Ephesians 3:20, we learn that with God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. As we get toward the end of the story of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, we read this. Now my time has come to die, Joshua says. Every one of you knows that God has given you all the good things that he promised. Every promise that he made has been kept. Not one of them has failed. What a powerful testimony Joshua gives. He gets to the end of his life and he says, you know what? God came through just as he said he would. Every one of those promises that he made, all 13 times he promised us that he would not leave us, he came through. As you look at the promises that are given to us, there are three major promises that are given to those who love God. Promise number one, and we learn this from the book of Joshua. The first promise that God gives to those who love him is strength. God told Joshua, listen, I'm going to give you strength. Nobody will be able to stand against you. I want you to know as you listen to this broadcast today, you are invincible until God's done with you. Nobody can stand up against you. God is going to be with you. God is going to stand with you. Your enemies may try to come against you, but God is going to give you the strength to defeat them. Here's the second promise that is given to those who live for God. Number one, we get strength. Number two, we get success. Joshua 1, verse number 7, you will be successful. Now, he's not promising to make you success at what you want to do. And that's why oftentimes we fail. That's why we flop. That's why we stumble, because we're often doing what we want to do and not what God wants us to do. You know, the place that you get most success and the place that you get most peace is right smack dab in the middle of God's will for your life. I want to encourage you, don't spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out the plans that you're going to have for your life. Spend time figuring out where God wants you to be in your life. Seek his face often. Seek his face early in the morning. You know, I think about great Christians versus nominal Christians. And the difference between a great Christian and a nominal Christian is only about 15 minutes a day. Yeah, that's right. About 15 minutes a day. Nominal Christians, about the only Bible they get is when they go to church on Sunday morning. Nominal Christians, their faith does not interrupt their lives too much, and there's not a big difference between their life between how they live on Sunday and how they live on their lives is not much different than the world. But those who are successful, those who live for God, they spend at least 15 minutes a day in God's Word. I gave our church a challenge at the beginning of this year, and I challenged them to read Spurgeon's morning and evening devotional. I challenged them to read it every day this year. As a matter of fact, I have a few of those books left over. If you'd like to have a copy of Spurgeon's morning and evening devotional, if you will contact me, I will be happy to send you, free of charge, no obligation, a copy of Spurgeon's morning and evening devotional. I'll pay the postage on it. You just let me know you want it, and I'll send it to you, okay? So write me a note, Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if it's easier, just call me, 757-421-7500. And leave me a message if there's nobody at the church, or leave a message with whoever answers the phone. And just tell them that you heard on the radio that I was going to give you the Spurgeon's morning and evening devotional, and just give them your name and your address, and I'll get it in the mail to you, okay? So three promises to those who live for God. Promise number one, I'll have strength. Nobody can stand against me. Number two, I'll have success. You will be successful doing what God wants you to do, not what you want to do. And then number three, we will have support. Joshua 1:9, I will be with you wherever you go. Isn't that great to know that God is going to be with us wherever we go? Always remember what is written in this book. Study it day and night. Be sure to obey everything in it that is written therein. If you do this, you will be wise and successful in everything. You know, General Douglas MacArthur once called Joshua the greatest military leader who ever lived, because Joshua's life was one battle after another, continuously, yet he never gave up. Do you feel like that? Like your life is one battle after another. Just when you get one problem solved, it seems like another pops up. Just when you get victory in one thing, all of a sudden there's another battle to fight. How do you keep on keeping on when you're having one battle after another? You see, there's a third secret to being used by God, and that is to lean on God. Leaning is more important than just believing. It means that I'm depending upon Him. Joshua 1:5 says, no one will be able to defeat you all of your life, Joshua. Just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'll not leave you. I'll not forget you. As you think about this whole leaning on God, who are you leaning on today for your strength? What is your source of strength? Is it somebody else? Are you leaning on the approval of other people for your strength? That is a very shaky foundation. People will let you down. You see, you can't even trust yourself, never mind other people. As you think about trusting the Lord, we're told to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make you pass straight. The fourth and final lesson that we learn about Joshua today, this great man of faith, is that Joshua actually launched out in faith. Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 through 11 says this. Then Joshua issued instructions to the leaders, and he told them to get ready to cross the River Jordan. You think about going across the River Jordan. It's only about 100 feet wide and 20 feet deep, except in flood season. You see, if you are waiting for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. If you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, that is sin. You see, those who are walking in faith do the right thing, not in the absence of fear, but in spite of fear. You move against your fear. You do the very thing that you fear the most. You see, fighting fear is called courage. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's moving on ahead in spite of that fear. You say, I know what I need to do, and I'm going to do it. I know the right thing to do, and I do it. I have this fear within me. I don't deny it, but I have faith to believe that God is going to bring me through. In Ephesians chapter 3, in the Message translation, I think that Eugene Peterson did a fabulous job in giving us this paraphrase, Ephesians 3:20. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest of dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. In 1 John 4:18, we read this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So here's my question for you today. What are you doubting that God can do in your life? Take that big doubt and trade it for a big dream. Put your faith in Christ. Discover that He will come through on every promise that is in His book that is dedicated to us. He will take that fear and fill you with courage. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Go ahead and launch out in faith. Watch God do amazing things. A preacher of yesteryear once reminded me as I was listening to a message that he was preaching that those who want to get the best fruit must climb out on the end of that limb. Oh, it's kind of scary out there at the end of that limb. The support may not feel as strong, but at the end of the limb is where the greatest fruit resides. I want to encourage you to launch out in faith. Just as Joshua did, you can discover that God can use you in a mighty and a powerful way. Thanks so much for listening today. Have a great weekend.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.